How can we not kind of just sit and try to reflect over what is going on through not even just the U.S.? I obviously, that is the flashpoint. That is where there are huge, large-scale gatherings. There are many different issues. It's where it all started and pushed these protests and this call to action, I think, from a lot of people. But it has spread through cities across Canada, around the world, joining in, seemingly being... Well, I think trying to convey that message that the vast majority of us understand that what the heck is going on is unacceptable and it needs to be addressed. It has been a visually disturbing at many times weekend. It has been, there are plenty of cases where the protests have been quite wonderful to watch in terms of the fact that there were large gatherings peacefully protesting. There was that one situation, where was it? I believe it was in Flint, Michigan, where the sheriff laid everything down and marched with everybody. Like, there have also been those moments of solidarity where you can see, yeah, there are some really good things. Sure, the riots are taking probably the lion's share of the visuals. But there's so many different wrinkles to what has been going on, and we'll get into a couple of different conversations. One around policing and what the future of that should look like, or should we be having a conversation of how that can change going forward. But off the top of the program, I wanted to bring in Saleh Wazirudin, the folks over at the Niagara Region Anti-Racism Association. Saleh, how are you?
I'm doing okay, Matt. Thanks for having me, and how are you?
Not too bad. This has been, I don't even really know where to start over the course of what we've seen in the last, whatever it is, 4 or 5 days now. But as you've been sitting back and watching this, I think I actually want to start with this. Like, does this feel any different than Ferguson or, heck, even going back to Rodney King? Like, does this feel any different than other times where people have kind of called up and rose up, but nothing actually happened afterwards?
Well, it does feel like there's been for a long time now a buildup of incident after incident, and a lot of people have just finally had enough. We are seeing some change, though. For example, normally prosecutors are reluctant to charge police because they work with police on other cases. So usually you need to bring a special prosecutor in to charge police. But in this case, within a week, they've already put charges against the officer, maybe not as strong charges as they could have, but that's something you don't often see, of where prosecutors charging the police directly.
Yeah, and again, well, there was a discussion over how it took so long in the first place, given how incredibly brutal that video was and how clear-cut the video seemed to be. So you get a sense that this does have a different tone than from other times where this issue has kind of got up into the everyday conversation?
Yeah, I mean, I can't predict in the future, of course, but it does seem like it's already the effectiveness of the protests has been more than it had been before. A long-term change would require things like civilian review with enforcement powers, with teeth, special prosecutors, and other structural changes like that. So that hasn't really been talked about, but the structures that are there right now, they're definitely bending in terms of the police forces and the prosecution.
What do you think? What do you think is making this have that traction, I guess, then, or is it maybe just the public's kind of ready for it a little bit more than they were even just 2 years ago, sort of thing?
Well, I think a lot of things have come together, including the coronavirus pandemic and the effects of that, including increased poverty and people being laid off, and all these other factors are coming in where people are just saying, this is enough. And also, of course, it was the obvious brutality of the way that George Floyd was killed and that was caught on camera. All this kind of came together. I don't think in the Rodney King time or in Ferguson that we have this much of dissent already stewing and brewing on these kind of conditions of poverty and disruption from the pandemic. And also the other incidents happening one after the other with nothing much being done.
Yeah, I guess the cumulative impact sort of thing has certainly been weighing on a lot of people.
Go ahead.
I was just like, because going through this, it's an interesting dialogue that seems to be out there, and I think a really good, healthy one now. It seems like the tone of the conversation, even though I don't want to get into the weeds over what the president says or something like that, but the overwhelming amount of dialogue really does seem helpful this time, I think.
Well, what kind of dialogue were you?
All the conversations that we're seeing over, you know, whose responsibility it is to be stepping up, who needs to be voicing their opinions, whether it's conversations we're going to have a discussion in a few minutes over policing and mentalities, and seems like there's all the right layers are kind of on the table, it seems.
Well, definitely, a lot of people have been coming forward wanting to do something. And they've been messaging us at the Niagara Region Anti-Racism Association. But actually, there was a demonstration that happened yesterday in the fall, and there's one coming up next Saturday, or this coming Saturday in the fall. They're both organized. We weren't involved in organizing them. There were other people who stepped forward with that because there's such a demand, there's such a desire people have to take a stand and show everyone where they stand and try to stop this. Just so people know, the demonstration that's happening this Saturday is on, it's July the 6th, starting at noon in Niagara Falls along Victoria Avenue, both sides of the road, starting at the Highway 420 entrance.
Okay.
And if you search for hashtag Justice for Black Lives, you'll find the group.
It certainly has kind of started so much different conversation, I think, within the community. But you say you've got a lot of messages over the last couple of days, and overwhelming or what?
Yeah, the people wanting to do things, and already we're seeing these demonstrations, like the example I gave, coming up. And so far over here, the one last Saturday and the one coming up, people are asked to keep 6 feet apart, and it's been stressed that these are peaceful demonstrations over here.
Which is one of the things, and there's been a couple of people, I know when I mentioned stuff on the weekend, some people were texting, how are they gathering like this? We're not supposed to be. What I've seen from the gatherings is, like, especially the Canadian ones, like the amount of people wearing masks is it's overwhelming. Almost every single one of them are wearing masks.
That's exactly right. Over here in Niagara Falls, that's what we've seen is pretty much everyone's wearing masks, and even there's offers for to give masks to people who don't have one.
For this conversation as we're going through, and obviously, like, right now a lot of it's going to focus on U.S., and rightfully so, we can't forget that there are dialogues that need to happen here in Canada. Do you think this is going to open up an avenue to have some of them too?
That's already been happening. In fact, even for Niagara, there's a Niagara College student who's come up with a petition asking, in among other things, for Niagara Regional Police to have body cameras, which has been brought up before but rejected for cost reasons. But it's been shown that body cameras will tend to reduce violence, and also for additional kinds of civilian review on the police. So we know that for more de-escalation training, we know from the report, two reports ago, the police had done de-escalation training with St. Joe's Hospital. But not everybody had gone through it, and we're trying to find that the Niagara Region Anti-Racism Association. We're trying to find out how far they've gotten.
Okay, we're going to have a discussion over kind of changing to the police, and that kind of conversation with St. Catharines counselor brought it up over on social media over the weekend. But essentially, kind of the context of the conversation, and I'm curious your thoughts, is look at how much money we're spending on policing. Maybe we shouldn't be spending so much on policing and kind of taking some of the things, whether it's de-escalation, whether it's some of those crisis situations, and creating, from what I can understand, like creating different groups to handle that, instead of it being a police officer going into a lot of these different kind of scenarios, leaving them for, you know, what are traditional police duties, and maybe creating other things to take care of this other stuff. I'm curious your thoughts.
Well, the police chief agrees with you, because earlier when there was demand for more foot patrols in downtown St. Catharines, the police chief himself had said that, look, don't look for police to solve social problems. Put the money into social services, which we completely agree with. The mayor and the police chief have said that downtown is safe, so they've only got more police foot patrols work with the perception of some of the business owners, but actually a lot of marginalized and racialized people don't feel safe around increased police. So there's their perception, but it's our lives that are being ignored for when they don't need more police there. And, you know, like you said, the police has agreed that don't look at more police officers as a solution to social problems. Put the money into social services.
Is there, as I'll leave it on this, I guess, because this is really the underlying kind of conversation. Is there as much distrust for the police within the racial communities here as there is in the States? And I know that's a hard thing to correlate the difference, but how deep and ingrained is it?
Well, I can't speak to the confidence in this particular police service. There might have been a survey done on that a while ago, but I can tell you that for people who've experienced either any negative interaction with police or even just survivors of domestic violence and many other people, marginalized people, that when we see police, we know that even though that might be a great policeman or a policeman, that we know that it can go south very fast. And so it is a source of apprehension there.
It's a piece that's always been kind of been on the underbelly of this. Saleh, thanks a lot for the chat this morning and what we are watching and hoping that we can start to see big changes. And it certainly feels like the world is behind this push too right now. Thanks a lot for the chat this morning.
Thanks, Matt. People can catch up with us on Facebook at the NRA RA for the Niagara Region Anti-Racism Association. Thanks for having me on.